Hi, everyone. Welcome to Waste 360's Nothing Wasted podcast. On every episode, we invite the most interesting people in waste, recycling, and organics to sit down with us and chat candidly about their thoughts, their work, this unique industry, and so much more. So thanks for listening and enjoy this episode.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Mobile Apps, the waste and recycling industry at your fingertip. My name is Stephanie Valentik, Editorial Director of Waste 360, and I will be moderating this session.
Good morning, everyone. I'm pleasantly surprised at the attendance this morning. I was a little worried that it would be a little too early, but I'm pleased to see that everyone's so excited about mobile apps. So welcome. Thank you. As she said, I'm Ryan from Recollect, an account executive with the company. Been with Recollect for about 5 years. And you're wondering, what is Recollect? If you've never heard of us before, we are a digital communications platform for the waste industry, laser focused on waste and recycling. We have a lot of different products that go into our apps. And the reason you might not have heard of us before is because our apps are white labeled for our customers. So we currently have over 400 waste recycling organizations that use our tools. And those apps are white labeled on the App Store. So my colleague here from Austin has the City of Austin app, Waste Connections, and so on and so forth. So essentially, what Recollect is we take very complex service information and compact that into a seamless digital user experience with the mobile app, and essentially empower the customer, end user, resident, whoever, to become their own CSR. And so rather than give a play-by-play of like what our individual products are, I kind of want to talk about the core values that drive Recollect in digital communications, and then I'll pass it over to my colleagues to talk about their experience with the app. So Recollect is built upon, I think, four basic things. First, as a software company, to be as user-focused as possible. You know, a simple, intuitive interface that empowers the user to take the steps that we want them to take, whether it's looking up their collection day, finding their recycling information, and so on, making that whole process very streamlined. And the second value, I think this really feeds into this, is to drive behavior change. You know, Recollect is a tool that our customers use with an end goal in mind. Our customers usually come to us with a communication problem they're looking to solve. So for example, you know, we want to create better recyclers and empower people to look up things before they throw it away. Or we want to reduce our call volume. You know, how do we do that? So I think, you know, how we design our products is to help our customers drive behavior change in their communities. So think about, you know, a hammer is a tool. And if it's just sitting there, it's not really doing anything. But the person behind it driving a nail is, you know, the action, the end result. So Recollect is kind of like the hammer in this, and our customers would be the driving force behind it. And third is to be as data-driven as possible. You know, what insights can we learn about our target audience through their experiences with the app? You know, what can they tell us about how to improve our messaging and our education strategies so that we're making the largest impact possible? And lastly, and I think most importantly, is to build trust. You know, a failed online search by a resident or a customer has real-world consequences. So a branded Cedar custom app becomes like the single source of truth for a waste program in this way, and really strengthens that relationship with the resident, the customer, the end user of the software. We really want to build trust with the digital tool. And I think what it boils down to is this. So like, why does any of this matter? And I think, you know, the reason our apps are so popular is that engaging in a waste program in this day and age is an extremely complex endeavor. You know, the more diversion mandates that come down, the more waste streams that we create, garbage, recycling, organics, bulky waste, e-waste, it becomes more complicated for the regular citizen to get it right. And what we want to do is help people get it right. You know, when people are looking for this information, it's really an opportunity to build that trust. And every interaction, whether it's online or in person, is an opportunity to increase or decrease trust in your organization. And so that's kind of the philosophies that drive Recollect and what we do with our mobile apps and our technology. And so I'm excited for you to talk to Carrie now, who's going to show you how these things kind of play out in the City of Austin.
Thanks, Ryan. So I'm Carrie Greenwalt. I handle the digital communications at the Austin Resource Recovery Department at the City of Austin. So as I said, Austin Resource Recovery, we used to be Solid Waste Services, and we kind of did a rebrand some years back to focus more on using waste as a resource and seeing it that way instead of as waste. So our goal is to reduce landfill waste by 90% by the year 2040. We also do the curbside collection of residential trash, recycling, composting, large brush, and bulk collection, dead animal collection, and a whole host of other things. And we use our mobile app to help us manage all of that and inform our customers about those services. So we launched our app, which is called Austin Recycles, right in the peak of when the pandemic was kicking off. So it was April 2020, April 1st, and we just decided to go forward with it, even though everything was happening the way that it was, so that we could keep our customers informed of our changing services during that time. We have more than 30,000 app downloads now, just 2 years later, so we're at about 31,000 app downloads. We get anywhere between 800 and 1,200 downloads a month, which is pretty decent for our city size. We have around 210,000 residential customers that we service, and we also do have a widget app that lives within our website. So we have about 75,000 reminders set up through that as well. So we're doing pretty decent as far as being able to communicate with our customers through this tool. So this tool helps us because we can communicate with our customers any service changes that are taking place. We can say, hey, your composting is running late today, or there was a freeze last year in Austin that was really bad and our services shut down for several days. So we were able to communicate that change to the customers, and they were the first ones to know what was happening. There was never a question about why hasn't my stuff been collected. They can also use our app to go on there and talk about what do I do with a certain item? Does it go in the trash? Is it recycled? What is the best zero waste option for that item? And mostly our customers seem to love this app. We have a 4.9 rating in the app stores, and I think it's helped us to build trust because there's never a question of like, okay, the government hasn't picked up our stuff. What is going on? Because they already know what's happening. We've already told them. Plus, they can find everything in one place. They can go online and find their calendar. They can figure out what to do with something. They know everything that's going on as soon as we do, basically. So when Ryan talks about the driving force behind the hammer, that's basically me for the city of Austin. And we just kind of keep everyone informed in the way that we should. I'll pass it over to Keith.
Next, we'll hear from Keith Gordon, the Vice President of Information Systems for Waste Connections.
That's me. I've been with Waste Connections for 12 years. Before I get started, I want to tell you a little bit about Waste Connections because it does kind of play into our experience with the app. Next slide. So Waste Connections was founded in 1997. If you do the math, it's our 25th year anniversary. The Waste Connections is the third largest solid waste company in North America. We're in 43 states in the U.S., 6 provinces in Canada. We've got hundreds of hauling locations. And, you know, I'm not saying that to brag. I am proud of the company. I'm very happy, you know, with the company's performance. But it does play into our experience with the app. We're also a decentralized company, and to the extent that we let the businesses at the local level actually run their own businesses. We use a corporate HRIS system, financial systems, hauling systems for the most part, but the configurations and how they run the business, they get to do on their own at the local level, and they're held accountable and rewarded for their success at that level. Next slide. So we started our journey with Recollect actually in 2014. We had a district in Northern California, El Dorado Disposal, that launched one of the earlier versions, and it had a lot of the functionality that Kerry talked about. You know, the ability to go out there and search and find out where you put waste, to see a calendar of when your pickups are, and most importantly, the ability to get notifications or emails. I mean, we recognize, as you guys probably do, that, you know, everybody has their own preference in how they communicate, right? So I've got kids that would never answer their phones, right? Older kids, they only wanted to text. We've got customers that only want to call. But the reality is, this thing has become super powerful, right? You could literally leave your house and forget to brush your teeth or put on deodorant and maybe just go into work, right? Forget your phone. And you're going back home and picking it up, right? That's how important it is, and that's how important notifications are, right? So we found that, you know, within 2014 to 2018, we had several dozen of our districts start to launch Recollect successfully. And we realized, I think in tandem, Recollect and Waste Connections realized this wasn't going to scale for us, right? We weren't going to be able to roll out a couple hundred districts using this model. So we ended up coming up with a solution which was called Waste Connect, which was an enterprise solution for our mobile app. Started that in 2018 and took a little longer, and we maybe go into that a little later, but took a little longer than we had anticipated for a lot of the reasons being a decentralized company. Finished it before before 2020, and then started launching some additional features and functionality. In 2021, we adopted a make a payment functionality. We had the ability to have a customer let us know about broken carts and tie that back into a back end process to be able to handle that. Missed pickups as well. Appreciate your driver. We had one of our customers actually reach out to us and say, "Hey, how can I just give a bonus to a customer?" We didn't go that far, but we did give them the opportunity to recognize a driver and turn that into positive feedback. And then we started the process of looking at the commercial customers, right? And that's a little bit of a different beast for us. When we finally come up with some solutions, and we've been rolling that out, as well as bulky items and some other functionality through that period. So you can see from the next slide, we've had some really good traction here. So we've had over 500,000 application downloads over that period. More than that, this was put together a couple months ago. 1.4 million address searched, and what that means is that includes, we do use the widget as well that's incorporated into our websites, so people can go in there, put in their addresses, and get some of the same functionality through the widget as we do in the application. And over 500,000 people have notifications set up. I mean, think of the power there, right? So these are calls that are being diverted because they're getting a message from us that says not only a reminder, but if we have a weather condition or something else that causes us to change our schedule, they're getting that notification in real time from the districts. So it's very powerful. Almost 2 million waste disposal searches. This is people looking up, hey, what do I do with the rubber hose? What do I do with that? And in our case, it might be different at every district, right? And then bulky pickup items were approaching 70,000. So that's somebody who wants to schedule, you know, I got a mattress, I got a refrigerator, how can I schedule that and interact with that in real time? So those are some of the key metrics. The thing that's really important on the next slide you can see, so if I look at some of those traffic, if you look at it, almost every year we're doubling. Right? Now, that's not going to keep going, but that's pretty impressive, right? That we started out over the last 3 years, we've doubled the number of applications that have been installed, notifications that have gone out. So it's been a very, very successful launch for us, and I will turn it over.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Good morning. I'm Beth from Food Rescue. I'm the product manager there, and in my role as product manager, I work directly with our end users of the app, as well as our tech team and IT to make sure that our app's direction is both inclusive of organizational strategy and what our end users are requesting. Next slide, please. Thank you. So a little bit about Food Rescue US. We are a national nonprofit dedicated to ending hunger and food waste in America. We are located in 20 states and with 38 different sites across those states. And to date, we've done several rescues, and our average is about 1K rescues a week, so just to give you an idea of the scale of how we're operating across the US. And about our model, so our model is direct transfer, utilizing volunteers across the country. So our volunteers, called our food rescuers, rescue or pick up the food from a food donor, which is anywhere, can be a corporate event, it can be a restaurant, farmer's market, anywhere that has extra food that otherwise might be at risk of being trashed, we want to prevent that and reallocate that food to the community. So places like shelters or community centers, anywhere that otherwise might be underserved by traditional food rescue in their community. And part of the beauty of our app and of our community is that it's completely locally led. So our sites have an idea of what parts of the community might be in greater need and who needs that fresh food at what time. So about our app is a web-based mobile app. So you will not find it in the app store. We have it on a web-based version, so you can simply add it to your home screen. It allows us to be a little bit more nimble in how we make changes to quickly address any different changing needs there. So about our app, it's meant to be a logistical tool as well as an overall suite of services for local food rescue sites. So the logistical side of it is making sure that our rescuers have everything they need to get to point A, which is the food donor, to point B, the receiving agency. So things like, where can I pick it up? What time? How often do you need this food picked up? We make sure that's all addressed on the app and that rescuers have all that information at their fingertips. And if it changes, they also can see that in real time and see it updated there. And a few of our stats here. So over 85 million meals and 109 million pounds of food that have been rescued during our time at Food Rescue US. And the app was launched in 2017 to give you an idea of how long we've been rescuing food across the nation. And I have our websites there, so you can take a look at our website for both learning about the organization as well as signing up. So it's very simple to sign up in your community as a rescuer. If there's a site, simply put in your name and your zip code, and then you can see if there's a site acting. And also, if you're interested in partnering with us on food donor or receiving agency side, we're always happy to learn more about who's out there and who might have access food. So thank you.
My name is Lindsay. I joined RTS relatively recently, but I come with a background in circular solutions, specifically focused on recycling non-recyclable materials and then reuse platforms. Here at RTS, we're building something that's truly unique and customizable and centralized. Next slide, please. That tackles a variety of different solutions based on our individual client needs across both sustainability as well as a variety of technology solutions. We do have web-based platforms that empower our customers, whether they be on the hauler side or our clients and their tenants, to actually track and maintain their data diversion goals. We're ultimately helping them optimize their business by being able to see not just their diversion of materials, but also their carbon emissions by tracking and tracing their eco footprint. And then continuing forward, we're really proud and excited to continue to provide sustainability through our waste auditors. And the way that we're doing this is through not just empowering our clients, but also those that are at the receiving end. So education is really important for us. We have technology called Recycle Bank that actually allows us to gamify recycling as well as provide a variety of different tools for people to become more informed of the variety of different things that our peers here mentioned before. So everything from notifications to actually being able to see their waste schedule as well.
Okay, now we're going to move on to the question and answer portion. I do have some questions here set up already. So first, let's go ahead and start with Keith. What were the unforeseen challenges when implementing an enterprise mobile app?
Thank you. Yeah, so again, for us as a decentralized business, right, we had some unique challenges because we had issues where, first of all, you know, we talked about the material search, right? What do you do with the with particular recycling or other waste streams? You know, decentralized model, we don't do the same thing at every location. So we had to have every one of our districts feed in to a very well put together interface by Recollect, but to get them to go in there and take the default stuff and move that into what really happens at their site. Same thing with the routes. The routes were you know, all named differently, right? So to be able to determine what is a recycling route, what is a, you know, solid waste, what is a, you know, being able to do that at a couple hundred different locations and be able to feed that into the feed that we provide to Recollect was one of the challenges. I think the other thing is, you know, as excited as we were and many of our districts, there were other districts that were maybe not as motivated. And so making sure that we're putting, letting them see and understand the importance of the app, right? So that was a joint thing that the Recollect team, Laura out there, and my team, Tracy, and the rest of the team had to put a lot of energy into getting people at my districts so that they would invest the time and be able to see the fruits. There was a lot of training that we had to do as well. So that was part of the challenges that we had in rolling this out. I think, you know, as we went into additional features and functionality and we wanted to do things like making payments. We wanted to expose it to commercial customers. We realized, hey, the convenience of just being able to put the address in and get to functionality wasn't going to be enough. So we also had to figure out, how do you do account validation, right? Or how do you tie in single sign-on so that if somebody wants to actually get into our online bill pay, how do you put that together? Those are some of the challenges that we faced, unique to us.
So bouncing off of that, Ryan, if you'd like to start, talking about data, collecting data and disseminating data and holding data, what are the cybersecurity issues that come with, a mobile app, and how do you address it? And anybody else who would like to answer, what kind of challenges did you see personally from a cybersecurity standpoint and getting customer buy-in to be able to say this app is safe to store your information?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think just, from a cybersecurity standpoint, the data that lives in Recollect isn't, really, really personal. It's like email addresses, but still needs to be protected, right? So as a company, I mean, we are audited by a third-party security auditor all the time and meet or exceed those standards across the board as a software company, like best practice, of course. So I think on the other side, particularly I think Keith speak more to this on your side because it's more your customers' bill pay data, but it's always a concern and top of mind for us at Recollect. Absolutely.
From a cybersecurity standpoint, we don't directly put any kind of payment or credit card information into the Waste Connect app. We don't actually do it even in our own bill pay. We have a third-party provider. So the login and the security that we put in front of that protects us from any kind of, PCI data. But when it comes to PII, private, then the personally identifiable data, we guard that. If you put in the address, it's not like we're exposing any kind of personal information that you wouldn't be able to find on any other public-facing database, right? So there's nothing that's going to allow you to be able to go in there and be able to get that information. We take it a step further when it comes to the commercial side because we really don't want this to be an application that our competitors can start harvesting information. So we do try to make sure that it's not just the address that we're using, and we put additional precautions there in terms of validating that address to an account.
Okay. Beth, what makes your app unique in its approach to reducing waste?
Thank you for the question. So a few different parts about our app that I think really make it stand out. So first is the fact that it's all locally run. So it's what I was speaking to a little bit about earlier. So site directors are the ones that run this in their community, and they can identify all of the unique needs and make sure that their volunteer force is there to really address those needs as they come. And it's also very unique to each site. So we're allowed to, as sites come on, we meet them where they're at, which I think is a very unique aspect. So whether a site has been doing food rescue for 10 years, whether they have never done one and they're excited to try their first, our app gives them the power to scale that if they want. So if they're trying to take it to the next level, they can set up reoccurring rescues and make sure that things keep rolling as they otherwise were. And they can create events for their volunteers in the app so they can engage in their local community outside of food rescue and learn more about their local community's needs. And whether that's their first one, then we make sure that they have all of the support that they need to onboard onto the app and then set up their first rescue, as well as a few other aspects that are unique outside of how the sites are run is the tools that we have in our app to help sites tell their story. So we collect data points for what the impact was, so the pounds, how many rescues we have, and where the food is coming from and going, to make sure that sites are empowered to tell their story and speak to the impact that they're making in their local community.
Now, Carrie, let's talk a little bit about, launching your app. You launched it in the early stages of the COVID-19 pandemic. Was there hesitation to release it at the time, and what were the results?
So we had that date planned for several months, and we had been working with the team at Recollect to bring that to fruition, and some of our internal teams also with the data sets and all of that. And we already did use a web-based app, but we thought that it was important to get everything also available on a mobile app so that way people could have it right at their fingertips. They don't have to put in their address every time, and it's just easier. A lot of our customers were requesting that. And so, obviously, come March 2020, when everything kind of started to go a little bit wild, we had some meetings about, you know, is this really still the best time to launch? We have all of these communications coming out specifically from us, the city of Austin, to our customers about this pandemic. So is this all just going to get lost in the shuffle? And after we had a lot of conversations about it, we realized that, well, this could affect our services. And so it probably is best that we launch it right now, because we'll be keeping people informed as those things continue to change. So it actually worked out to be really great. Right at the beginning there, we actually had some service shifts. We had to suspend our bulk and brush collections for a while based on just not having CDL drivers and things like that. So it was really easy for us to keep people informed. We could also send out campaigns with our weekly service reminders that kind of let people know, like, okay, this is what you do with a mask. Like, it doesn't go in the recycling, it goes in the trash. Just to kind of keep people informed and keep up with our education efforts. So it actually worked out really well for us.
So, Keith, what were the challenges in pushing adoption of the app? How did you overcome those challenges?
I think the challenge with adoption, it's not the field of dreams. You don't build the app, put it in the app store, and then all of a sudden they come, right? I mean, some will definitely come, right, with just a little bit of effort. But you really have to make sure that you take as much effort in the planning and focus, making sure that you make it a priority. For us, we had to do some coaching with the Recollect team. We really made it an intentional experience in trying to get traction on the app. And, you know, little things like, you can see the signature block on the right. That goes a long way, right? Adding it into your IVR and your hold messages can help out a lot. But we had to look at other ways to build out. One of the easy ones we did was we went ahead and we did bill inserts, right? So some of our districts just put a little flyer in there, said download the app. Some of them put it on the actual bill itself for the invoice. Some of them did flyers that they passed out in a number of different ways, either at the sites or at pickup. So this is an example where, you know, you partner with others like the municipalities, right? If you can get the municipalities to put up the app as well, then you get some dual coverage on the app, as well as, you know, this is an example where somebody got creative and got with the local news and put it out there. As a utility, you know, you don't want to miss out opportunities. I think like Nextdoor is another good one where they're now getting involved with utilities and will help you promote things like an app. And of course, social media, right? If you got to use it on social media, it's great to have it on LinkedIn, Facebook, you know, Twitter, whatever your social media, you need to be pushing it through their adoption. This is an example where on the left-hand side, you know, we've got, like I said, we got a lot of decentralized individual websites. So as you log in or as you actually just go to the website, it'll do a pop-up, right? There's a pop-up little ad that says download the app. If you go to, you know, most of our districts are on a centralized online bill pay. It finds out who you are and then brands it appropriately. But one of the first things we do there is we also do a pop-up, right? Pushing that app, getting that in front of eyeballs. That's about, I mean, that piece right there gets about 20 or 30,000 a day, right? And it gets a lot of traction in terms of visibility. And then there's other more creative ones, right? So you can do cart hangers, you can do truck. We haven't done any truck stickers, but other people do that. You know, you can do press releases like you see on the right here. And a lot of our districts, or several of our districts, have done sweepstakes or giveaways where you, you know, sign up and we'll put you in for an iPad or something else as a giveaway. And that gets traction as well. Everybody likes free stuff. But the point is, next slide, if you have to do this intentionally. You can see on this, sort of this is something Recollect that put together. If you take those low-hanging fruit, right, for us, over half of our districts were getting 5 or 10% adoption rate without doing much, right? But clearly, just taking some of the other things that I showed here, we were starting to see 40% plus adoption rate, which is incredible. right? So if you want to get that kind of adoption rate, which leads to customer satisfaction, reduced calls, and everything else, you do have to put effort behind it. I wanted to kind of show just a couple things that Recollect was doing and the seriousness that they put behind it. So the next slide you'll see, this is a dashboard they put together for us. This is showing the implementation, but they had another dashboard that shows us statistics on adoption across our entire organization. And we could quickly see who was doing well and who wasn't. And sometimes we bring in, you know, the top performing districts and have them communicate their successes and what worked, what didn't work. But it was definitely a partnership between Recollect and Waste Connections to get this adoption. And that's really what you're going for. And last slide really kind of shows some of what Laura put together at Recollect. There's actually kind of a mini university out there that she put together that has a bunch of training resources that show, you know, give tools to those districts on how to drive that adoption. So, thank you.
So, Beth, going along with what Keith just said, how has your app enabled you to scale your work?
Thank you for that question. So in terms of scaling, our app is both easy to sign up for, so it allows us to scale our volunteer force, and our volunteers are the entire force behind everything that we do at Food Rescue. So if we're able to scale the process of adding new volunteers to our app, then we're able to scale our impact by having them there. Another way that we're able to scale is by having unlimited amount of donations that sites are able to set up, as well as having those set on a recurring schedule. So if a site has 100 donations a month, they can do that. They can add as many as they want as long as they can support that in their community. And then they can also automate their donation schedule. So it allows them to take their energy off of that and onto other things. So another way that we do that on our app is we have all the details in there for the rescuer, and we have all the support that they need to make sure that their process is smooth. And so whenever they have a smooth process, that reduces the work on their site coordinators. So the site coordinators that otherwise, if we didn't have the app, they might be texting them, oh, wait, the address changed. Oh, wait, this one detail where it's going to be 15 minutes late, they can now put that in the app, which then gives our site directors more energy to spend elsewhere. So it gives them more time to scale their organization in a way that's really thoughtful for them. So whether that's finding new food donors, whether that's finding local events to keep their volunteers engaged in their community, they're able to grow that in a way that makes sense for their local site. So scalable both in terms of adding new people, adding new sites. We always welcome new sites, and we can onboard them on our tech, and we have the support as well as an organization in making sure that once they're onboarded, they can have a smooth process to transporting food and keeping reduced waste. Thank you.
Now, Carrie, how have you expanded your app since its initial launch?
So when we started out, we already had the web-based app, and so we had a tool where people could search for zero waste options on what to do with their items. We also had the calendar where people could search when their collections were, and we have a waste sorting game that's kind of fun. The kids especially love it. You can kind of go on and say if something goes in the compost or the recycling, it will tell you if you're right or wrong. And so now we've been adding different tools as we go along. During the pandemic, our recycling center had to close down temporarily. And then we reopened up with an appointment-based system, and we were able to build that system into our app. And so now we have a place where people can go and set up an appointment. They can go drop off their stuff to be recycled. We also have some things that can be picked up for free. And it makes it a lot easier. People actually loved it so much, and the reviews were so overwhelmingly high that we decided to keep it long-term. So whereas in the past it was kind of becoming a safety issue, we had people lined up outside of the facility trying to get in to drive through the facility, and now people can know that they have a 15-minute window of an appointment. They can kind of just show up, drop their stuff off, and they know that they're not going to be there for half of their Saturday trying to get their stuff dropped off, and it's keeping the traffic off the street. So we decided to go ahead and keep that feature, and it's actually been great. We also are doing a couple of different pilots. So we're doing a pilot for an on-call bulk system where some of our customers, instead of having their scheduled twice yearly bulk collection, they can actually go into the app and say when they want their collection, and they get three per year. So it's more convenient for them because when they're doing a garage cleanout or something, we're not telling them when they should do that cleanout. They're telling us when they want us to pick up their stuff. So it's made it much easier for us to also be able to recycle the stuff from that program rather than some of it going to the landfill. So that's been really great for us. We're doing a couple of other pilots that are going to be coming up soon. One will be a household hazardous waste collection pilot. And then we are also talking about doing an on-call brush collection pilot for large brush. So it's been great.
All right, now we'll open up to the questions and answer session to the audience. If you'd like to line up at the microphone, if you have any questions for our panelists.
I'm Darren Grundell, CEO of Gold Medal. And I'm sorry I walked in a little late. So if I missed the orientation for Recollect about what it is and what the suite of applications are, forgive me. Dying to know what apps the mobile app touches. So if you could give us a little bit about what core applications you're running for, like turn-by-turn directions, what your customer service stuff is, and really interested in understanding the push-pull, right, between the mobile app and these other application environments and how you guys dealt with the data challenges for access and then repopulation into those other systems.
Sure, I can speak to some of that. So how I started showing what Recollect was, it's basically a customer service app. So empowering the customer to become their own CSR, looking up that service level information, like their collection schedule, what goes where, recycling information, ordering bulky item. Now, the integration portion of that really is dependent on the system that we're sitting on top of. So whatever software you're running would be dependent on, you know, can we leverage an API? If we're doing bulky item collection, can we push that directly into your system? And where does it go from there? Or if we can't do that, if it's an older software, you know, how does this information get to the right person? So I think the integration portion of it occurs on a spectrum. We can go as deep as you want depending on the limitations or, you know, whatever with your technology. So.
Perfect, thank you. This is really for Keith. Like, how does that work?
Oh, sorry.
That all looks perfect when it goes up on the board and anything could be integrated with anything, right? If the right amount of time and money, but how did it work for you guys?
That piece of it actually worked really well. We were on the same timeline in terms of putting that kind of functionality in our chatbot and everything else online, right? So the ability to be able to say, hey, I missed a pickup, right? And be able to take that and turn that into a live interactive. So we started out with sending an email, right? Which, that's not really great, right? So then we've gone from there to putting it in a dashboard that our CSRs can have, that's in front of them that says, okay, take action on that. And that action is automated. It can do a, you know, depending on the district, we can go do a pickup or we can contact them or we can tell them, hey, for $5, we'll turn around and pick it up or whatever. So that can be interactive and live. Same thing with a broken cart, some of the other functionality. Bulky items, another one that by district, we're now coming up with, you know, rules around how that district behaves, you know, whether they, you know, allow it one time a year, two times, three times a year. How do we count that? How do we schedule that? How many can we take in a particular day? So that can all be automated. But I think the API part of it, that really was not the most challenging piece.
So all that stuff sits in the app or sits in your CRM?
No, so the pieces that fit in the app or sit in the app, and that's for app performance, are they have the calendar in there, they have the recycling stuff is all that they pulled that all onto their side, right? So we feed them, there's a live feed that we feed information up to them, and the address information, the scheduling information, all of that lives in their platform for efficiency. But when it comes to you want to take action on something, the configurations sit in their app, which we feed up to them or we work with them to set up like the configuration for a bulky pickup, but then they're doing live interactions with us on the API side to make and take action on those things. Same thing with make a payment, for example, is a good example where that really doesn't live in their world, right? That just, we're transitioning that over to our side.
15 years ago, we talked about getting information onto websites. Now we're talking about information on apps. What's next? Where are we going from here?
Yeah, I can handle that one. Thank you. I think the first iteration of Recollect is really self-serving on that kind of information. And you can type in your address, what's my collection day, get a reminder, look up recycling, you know, what goes where type information. I think over the last 2 years, I personally have definitely seen an uptick in online ordering, like call it the Amazon effect or the Shopify effect, you know, ordering services through the mobile app. I think we're seeing it really prevalent in bulky item right now because those programs can be very complex. Like he said, you know, there's different rules for different areas and, you know, certain amount of free pickups and not free pickups for these areas. And how do we keep track of that and streamline that process? So I think that's pretty well couched now. I think the next phase, everything was so residentially focused before. I think now we're seeing that there are so many commercial applications for this, for ordering, you know, dumpsters or switching out roll-offs and that type of stuff. So I think the next kind of phase generation for waste is to, you know, delve more into that commercial space and seeing what kind of efficiencies we can come up with from there. And our customers have asked us to do this, and Waste Connections is a great example of that. Actually, Keith, if you want to.
Let me just add on it. It actually ties into both of the questions a little bit, because I think, you know, one of the things that we haven't really talked about is, you know, we talk about APIs on our side. Recollect also has APIs, right? So, and they built those for smart speakers. So, you know, you could see, I don't know if that's going to be real popular or whatever, right? Being able to talk to your or have your Amazon speaker talk to you. But there's really no way of knowing where we're going to go in the next 10 years. And what I find is really cool is, as much as they're using our APIs, I'm using their APIs. Right. So in my online bill pay portal, right, my customer portal, I'm not recreating the calendar. I'm not recreating. I'm using, you know, and I'm doing things like where we used to have to put an account number and an invoice number in to be able to identify a customer to enroll them. You can put your address in now. I'll go over to Recollect. I'll find out what the account number is tied to that. Then I'll take you through, just like if you were at a credit, you're going into a credit facility, it'll ask you questions like, have you ever lived at one of these addresses? Is one of these phone numbers yours? Is one of these emails? That's driven by us and some artificial data. But the being able to use the APIs on both sides has given us now a better way to identify and validate customers during the enrollment process. You don't even need your invoice, your statement. I can figure out who you are and guarantee that I know who you are. And also keep out people from abusing the system. So I think having those APIs on both sides makes that unlimited. Whatever the next platform is or the next way of interacting with your customers, if you're building up that architecture now, you're going to be able to pretty quickly leverage that. Again, my chat engine built on the same technology. My websites are built on the same technologies. So,
building on to what Ryan shared, a lot of the conversation today was focused on municipal residents. One thing that RTS has been doing for some time now is working a lot with our commercial clients to actually provide a portal where they can see the data and track the data, and they're actually optimizing and creating efficiencies through what they're observing. So an example being contamination. Contamination actually is not good for your streams, obviously long-term for recycling. So then what can we do at the on-the-ground level, working with the facility management team, whether that be removing a bin or providing cameras so they can track and actually pull out those materials, or actually putting new signage and materials so that that waste stream is not contaminated in the future. We're also working to look at the data and then see what better solutions we can do. So, for example, with organics, instead of sending things to compost, we're finding partners like food reuse and ultimately changing how our streams are identified. So whether that be finding a partner that can take those materials and provide them to underrepresented communities for meals, or actively thinking about with our commercial clients, maybe instead of using disposable utensils to switch to reuse, and then empowering our haulers to actually be able to pick those materials up, I think is kind of where the future is, at least for the clients that we're working with today.
My name is Zach Amar. I'm the founder of Vixter, and I was just curious how you guys think about, from, you know, when you lead your cash budget for, you know, developing your technologies internally, how are you looking at, like, managing your cash budget, and how much are you investing in as a whole into technology internally to improve the systems? If you could shed some light on, you know, as a corporation, how you think about investing in technology to improve.
Well, for us, you know, we always want to see a return on investment, right? So that return on investment a lot of times can be, you know, you can measurable, right? Where you're saying, okay, we should be able to reduce this many calls, right? And a call has a tangible cost to it. But we also look at the intangibles, and sometimes it's very hard to measure. The intangibles could be customer satisfaction and churn, right? Because, you know, a customer doesn't want to wait on hold, they want to get that instant feedback through the channel that they prefer. So our investment from an IT standpoint really takes a lot of that into consideration. But like I said, a lot of the work is really establishing that infrastructure, the APIs, the partnerships, and then being able to leverage that. I have a IT budget, and I manage to that budget, and the application and the tangentials off of that are part of that budget. I'm kind of curious, how about the...
So we have a goal to reach zero waste by 2040, and we see this app as a tool to help us reach that goal. And so we have no problem investing in that, and we keep adding different features to that, which actually increase our investment in the tool, because we do see it as a really valid way to get there. More and more people have been using the app, both the web-based version and the mobile version, and we have lots of people searching for our items and what to do with them, and like Lindsay had said, contamination is a big problem, so we're using this to help us kind of battle the contamination. We can go in and create a link to a specific item within our tool, and then I use that on our social media channels to say, like, this is what you do with meat and bones and dairy. They can go in your compost, and then you can link directly to that item, so then people say, oh, what else can I look up in this tool? And they start looking up other items. So it really does help us to combat the contamination. It helps us to inform people about what goes where in the waste streams. And then it helps people to just be informed about, okay, this week's a recycling week. I need to put out my recycling. So we see that as an investment, and we don't have a problem making it because it's helping us reach our end goal.
Hi, good morning. Josh Nagashima from the city and county of Honolulu. I think Carrie mentioned that you're using an app for this drop-offs appointments at disposal sites. We're thinking about doing the same thing. How pivotal is the app to doing that? Is it essential, basically? And then how has using the app changed kind of the workflow and staffing?
Yeah, so we used to just have a drive-up non-appointment-based system. So anyone could just drive up during the open hours and they could drop off the material or pick up. We also have paint that's created from recycled paint and mulch and things like that that people can pick up. And so it used to just be kind of a free-for-all. You could go during the open hours, drive your car through. It's very much a drive-through outdoor facility. So you could go through whenever the facility was open, but at any given time, there could be a huge line of cars kind of causing traffic in the streets, a couple of the different streets that lead up to that facility. And so we have seen an instrumental change in having the app feature where people make the appointment, because people can go on there. They know that they have a 15-minute window designated to them where they can show up at the facility. They'll get in without a wait. And it's helped us with staffing, too, because sometimes we'll have people from doing a community collection to drop off at the facility. And the staff from the facility will call me and say, hey, next Saturday we have this huge drop-off happening. Can you block off half of the appointments to accommodate for that? And so it's helped us with the staffing and stuff. And when people are on vacation, we're also able to do that and say, okay, well, we can accept less appointments because we have fewer staff working that day. So it's helped us to really plan. It's also helped us with safety, as far as I mentioned before, with the traffic, but then also in the facility itself, because it is an outdoor facility and people are driving vehicles through there. We have staff that's walking around, and so it's easier for them to know that there's this many cars coming through and there's just less confusion. So it's been really great for us.
I see. Is it appointment-based only now, or is it?
Yeah, so it's appointment-based only. Because we only kicked that off, I think it was a little bit over a year ago that we kicked off the appointment-based part of it. Some people still are unaware, so if there is a time slot available and they show up, we do try to accommodate that, but then we tell them that the next time they need to make an appointment.
Okay, thank you.
All right, would any of our panelists like to add any final thoughts based on our discussion today?
Yeah, I would. I think when you go out this, you're thinking about right now what the app can do, but you're not going to know that there's going to be some unanticipated benefits, right? So just as you were mentioning what your app does, I was thinking about another potential use for it. But, you know, for my business, for example, I think I mentioned that, you know, one of our customers came to us and said, hey, you know, we love to give kudos to our drivers, particularly around the holidays. It was really big during COVID, right? We're still in COVID. But how do we recognize the drivers? So we built that into the app, and we pretty carefully designed that to say, appreciate your driver. You click that, you can leave basically a Google comment and show appreciation for the driver. And that has driven up our Google store, right? So our ratings now in all of our districts have gone up just because of that piece of functionality that we built into the app. Now, we specifically didn't say give us feedback. We said, appreciate your driver. So we kind of drove some of that positive feedback, right? That's one example. I think the other example, which is pretty big for us, is reroutes, right? So if you think about you're doing things like rerouting, this application actually becomes critical in communicating with our customers when you do something disruptive to the business. And it allows the districts to be able to go out there, communicate. They see in real time the calendar's updated. They know when their new schedule is. So those are things that, you know, I don't think we had initially said, okay, these are going to be some of the positive unintended consequences. And I think you think when you go through stuff like, you know, what can I do to make life easier, to build more trust, right, with your customers? And I think, you know, it's pretty limitless, you know, if you can create those touch points, those APIs, and come up with what's driving those calls, what's driving that dissatisfaction, and how can you be proactive and build that into an application?
I think I would just end with, you know, embracing technology can be transformational, as Carrie and Keith have said. And then if anyone's considering it, you know, we really encourage a crawl, walk, run approach. You know, you don't have to do everything all at once with an app. You know, Carrie spoke about we started with these products or features, and then we added over time as our residents got used to it. I think that's a fantastic approach if you're hesitant about it. And I think in that way, you know, technology and behavior change, how they intersect, like, you know, we want to drive behavior change in the resident, you know, help them become better recyclers or help them self-serve on information so they're not inundating your customer service with calls. But I think also that behavior change comes from, you know, internally taking a look at your communication strategies and really embracing the technology and leveraging it, that it's out there. And it can have a huge impact, not just ROI, but as Keith said, customer satisfaction, those intangibles. And it really starts with, you know, are you going to pick up that tool? Are you going to pick up that hammer and start driving away? And I think, you know, when you do that, Recollect can become extremely powerful.